Hello there, listeners. My name is Jason Sketch. I am the DM for the game A Dicey Experience. We have missed you guys the past few weeks, and we're super excited to have you guys all back with us again. Thank you for your patience. We had some technical difficulties, and in the process decided that it would just be best if we just scrapped that last episode and said they fought some water elementals and survived, and now we're picking up from that point forward. With all that in mind, let me introduce you to all of the players in this game. The introductions begin with Lazy Man.
Hello, my name is Lazy Man Gamer, and I play the Herengon Swashbuckler, Jean Lafayette, and his, what's a good word for it? Dependable, nameless, his Drake that follows him around. And we're getting to know each other very well.
And who's that there next to you?
This is Meerkat.
Hey, guys. This is Meerkat. I play Lucas Fandwear, the human cleric, and the lovable chef on the string, ready to heal some people after that battle.
Oh, nice. And who you plan on healing first?
Lily.
Wow.
Thanks.
Okay, I'll go for Stolen first.
Hey, everybody. It's Stolen. I am playing Kree Saipan, everybody's favorite Tortle Warlock, or should I say Captain Brew?
We'll just have to see how long that lasts, I guess, huh?
Forever.
Forever.
Think anyone else wants the job?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's taking that anytime soon.
Well, our band of pirates have been in some pretty crazy and awesome adventures recently. They just left the island of Linguina and are making their way to Tortoon. In the process, we get to hear them interact with some of their other boatmates, pirates, crew, other crew members, and get to know them a little bit better as they journeyed forward in this wonderful adventure of being a pirate. However, they just encountered a flock. I don't know if you can call it a flock, but I'm going to call it a flock of water elementals that poured onto their boat and began to fight and destroy things along the way. Lucky for them, they were able to take them down and stop them from destroying the boat. In the process, though, the last few seconds, both crew and Jean were being pulled overboard by the water elementals, and Lucas was able to cast Water Walk on them to prevent them from falling into the ocean. Both crew and Jean are now climbing back onto their boat, soaking wet, and this is where the scene picks up. The question is, what do?
Well, crew, not happy about being wet.
I've just had the strangest feeling of deja vu, crew.
Yeah, I am not happy about this whatsoever.
I think that that feeling is mutual.
Crew is going to look around the ship. Is there anything he can grab to dry off with?
Yeah, Lily's got this fire sword that she's holding, and the flame's lit.
Crew's going to walk up to it and like hold his hands like over it like he would a campfire. Does it seem to be drying him at all?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a heat coming off of it. You definitely still hear the light rain that's coming in, kind of against the flame.
Yeah, this isn't gonna work. It crew storms off into the captain's chambers to see if he can find anything.
Lily shrugs her shoulders and goes and does whatever Lily likes to do. Yeah, I mean, you're in the captain's quarters. There's a big old blanket that Fang is wrapped up in. There's, you know, your buffing kit that you have around there. There's a there's like a map on the desk. There's envelopes from the different mail that's been coming in. You might find a towel or two in there. I'm sure the captain's got something.
Kind of look around. I'm not going to use my buffering kit because that has to stay dry. So I'll throw open the captain's closet and see if there's any like garments in there that I could use to dry off, like a shirt or trousers. Something.
Yeah, there's actually a hand towel. It's as if, you know, he's holding it as if he was somebody from, you know, that you go into a fancy restaurant and they're in the bathroom and they're like, here's your towel, sir, after you dry your hands with. He's kind of standing there like that, obviously frozen in time, but he's got his hand out and he's got a hand towel on it.
Now that is proper service, Nadar. I'm going to grab the towel, dry myself off, throw the towel back at him, give him a high five, say thank you, and then slam the door.
Wonderful. The door's slammed. You kind of hear a thunk, like as the door kind of hits him, and he kind of leans back in the back of the closet and slams back against the door.
And I'll go back over to the door, the door out into the deck, open it up, and just stand there in it. I'm not walking back out into the rain or raining, and just watch what's going on.
Okay, everybody else, what are y'all doing while Crew is just standing in the doorway, the hallway doorway, facing out to what's going on to the rest of the world?
As Crew walks away, I'll go up to Lucas and give him a pat on the back and good job out there. That's much appreciated. I feel like I probably wouldn't be back on the deck of this ship if it weren't for you.
No problem, Jean. I saw you go overboard and I just needed to save you and Bolt. So you're my crewmates after all.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think I'll look around at everybody, make sure everyone's okay, all those that need it. Are you okay? Do you need anything?
I'll be fine. I can walk it off.
A pat on the shoulder.
Jean will just walk up to the helm and make sure we're underway and moving away from this area as quickly as possible.
Father.
Yes?
Can I get a turn of drive again?
I think now's probably not the best time.
Okay.
Why don't you see if Francon and Pencon need any help, if there's any damage done to the ship. See if you can't give them a hand.
Okay, I can, okay. And he kind of walks off.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, man. They're putting everything together. As you guys remember, poor Fredrikken ran into the kitchen, and he's kind of in underneath the table, and he's got his arms wrapped around his legs, and he's kind of waddling back and forth in the fetal position. Francon and Pencon are kind of running around the ship making repairs and kind of correcting different things. They're starting with the mast first to make sure it's good to go because they just saw the water elemental crawl up there and throw Crew to the ground and it added some damage in the process. There's Drake is kind of walking around, picking up things and taking it to him. They're not communicating well. Obviously, they're speaking Dorvish and he doesn't speak Dorvish, but it seems to be working. He's helping out there a little bit. Sally and Sarah are quickly at least cleaning some things off and trying to clear the deck so that it's easier to walk around. And Lily is at the very front of the ship where the stick kind of goes off the ship where, you know, sometimes there's like the mermaid that's off the edge of the ship. She's sitting at the very front of the ship with the Fireblade ready for something else to jump out at you guys.
I'm going to walk up to Lily and I'll stand a couple feet back and I'll say, Lily, you were amazing during that fight. Where did you get that sword from?
She kind of tilts her head and it's at Jean.
Jean gave you that sword?
She nods.
Well, I don't know what we would have done if you weren't here with that.
You kind of see her. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say thank you.
She smiles in her weird, creepy doll-faced way. It kind of creaks up to that smile. Know why I'm pointing at my dimples in the smile while you guys are listening to a podcast, but I am doing that action right now. She smiles real big. You kind of see her posture get a little more straight, like she's a powerful person, and you can tell that was encouraging to her, and she liked that a lot.
Well, thank you, and I'll, I guess, just awkwardly kind of stand there for a bit and then try and find my way back to the kitchen.
If we were playing a video game, you would see a banner go across the bottom of the screen that says your friendship has increased with Lily.
Yeah.
All right, so you start making your way back to the kitchen. Crew, you're standing in the hallway. You're kind of seeing these things happening. Are you going to do anything special?
Just stay out of the rain. I may shout some orders every once in a while, but I'm pretty much going to stay as dry as possible.
You receive a message. Crew, tenant crew, status report.
Can I reply to this message?
Yes, you may reply to the message if you'd like to.
I'm going to take a step back into captain's quarters, close the door.
Okay.
Before I respond, I'm on my way back to Tortune. Long story. I'll tell you when I get there.
Another message is sent, and you receive very well. Is the mission complete?
The mission was somewhat of a success. I now have more than I was have.
Pause for a little while. It's kind of a little awkwardly long as you wait for a reply to see, or even see if she does reply. Kind of get to a point where you start feeling like, you know, maybe she's not going to reply. When suddenly a message comes back to you and it's clear that it's taken a little time, but she says, good, bring it to Shark's Head Tavern. The admin would like to see you.
All of the admin? Okay. I don't know if I can get all of it to the Shark's Head, but I can meet y'all there and show you.
There's no reply to that message. How long do you wait?
I wait probably about 10 minutes. And in that time, I'm going to walk over to the table where the map is, study the map, kind of see if I can tell how long it's going to it to, or two, if there's anything else that's showing up that I hadn't noticed beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, you're still 2 days out from Tortune. You said you're looking at the map. And what was your question again about the map?
Just to see if there was anything that I hadn't noticed prior. I'm just going to study the map a little bit.
Yeah, you're playing around the map. You notice that the compass kind of spins around in circles, kind of keeps spinning. And when you put your finger on different places on the map, it kind of points to that spot with the compass. At some point, you whisper the word Tortune, and you kind of watch suddenly your boat kind of appear in the water, almost like an "as I am here" kind of situation, and you watch as a line is drawn from your boat to Tortune itself, and it says kind of gives like an ETA above that line of how long it might be before you arrive at your current pace. And then
I was gonna say, I was gonna test it again. I was just gonna point to one of the withered reefs and say its name, if it works for that as well.
Yes, yeah, another line, that line that was there fades, and another line pops up, and it gives you another ETA, and it says ETA 3.5 days.
To go out to the door again. John, come here.
I suppose. 1 minute, and I'll call out for Nameless.
Nameless comes running up. Yes, yes, father?
Hey, very important task for you. I need you to steer the ship just straight ahead.
Just straight ahead, like you, I did last time.
No. You remember last time you were moving it all around and left and right?
Yes, but keep it straight.
That's not how that works. I need you to hold this with two hands, very steady, and don't let it move at all.
I don't have hands.
Paws then.
Oh.
Claws?
Yeah. Pause,
the things on the end of your front legs.
Pause.
Okay, pause. That's what we'll call them.
Okay, I think you're very wise for giving them a name.
Well, let's not be projecting now.
Oh.
Just hold it straight. I've got to go talk to the captain. It's very important. He is very specific about wanting this to point straight ahead, so let's do our best for the captain.
Okay. I can do that.
Okay, good. And John will briskly go down the stairs and knock on the captain's door.
17 intelligence for him to be able to drive the boat more effectively this time.
You're telling me I need to roll a 17?
No. I rolled a 17 for his intelligence.
I was like, that's a heck of a DC check. But okay. It's got a base intelligence of -1, but here we go.
The crew is standing in the door, so he just motions John to come in and walks over to the map. Hey, I found something, an Easter egg within this map that I thought would be interesting for you to know for just purposes.
Okay.
And I'm going to point at the map, say, Tortune.
You watch as a boat appears onto the map, and a line is drawn from the map to Tortune, and it says ETA 2 days. Well, there's some scribbles above a line. Are you wearing your monocle?
No, not right now. Yes, me and Lucas saw this the other day.
So that it gives ETAs?
Yes, there's words that appear and information.
It would have been nice for me to know.
Gives a general heading. You're the captain. You've got bigger things to worry about than where we're going and which direction it is.
Well, as the captain, I should know pertinent information. I feel like this is pertinent information.
I also feel that way. And I don't know why Lucas didn't share this with you. He's much closer with you than I am.
I'm not. Maybe I should have a word with Lucas. It really should have been shared with me.
You were in the room. Why, I supposed you would have been paying attention. It was during the whole fiasco with Fang, where he was trying to get on a vegetarian diet.
I was probably distracted by Fang.
Many apologies.
Regardless, this is nice. So now we can have more of a heads up of what we need, where we need to go, especially since we're on a time crunch. Terrarium.
You say terrarium. Yes. And on the map, a small blinking thing pops up next to the withered wreath, the seven withered wreaths, the seven islands of the withered wreath. There's many ways.
Like right next to him?
Not quite right next to him. It looks like almost within like a day's travel, and it spawns up just like you had your boat kind of spawns onto the map. This strange white thing begins to spawn onto the map, and as you look closer, it looks like a massive, large turtle with some strange vines or tentacles or something coming off of it. And the line darts close to the wreath first before it wants to turn and make its way towards the large turtle figure that's popping up on the map. And it's almost as if the line's pointing towards you going inside the turtle's mouth.
That has to be new.
Yes, of course that's new. We didn't see that the other day. How did you do that?
Well, I'm the captain. I can do these things.
Ah, yes, it must listen to you better.
So, does it look like the turtle island is moving, or is it stationary?
It's stationary. I mean, as you're looking more and more closer at it, that's a great question. It looks like a skeleton, almost, of a giant turtle. But again, it's got these weird, like, tentacle things kind of coming off of it as well.
What do you say the day for it was?
It says a week. From where you're at, it's saying about a week and a day.
Well, at least it looks like we'll be able to find the terrarium with this once we leave Fortune.
Yes, if I remember right, we're on a pretty tight deadline. It takes about a week or so from Tortune, and so we don't have much time to spare.
I'll point down to the map and say, well, it says a week from here, we're 2 days away, Tortune. Is Tortune in the same direction as the terrarium, or is it kind of a jaunt the other way?
Tortune, you still have to travel a little southeast to get to Tortune. And then it is about a 6-day travel from Tortune to the Withered Wreath. And then from there is about a day over to the terrarium. So you're traveling again, you're traveling southeast to kind of get there from Linguina. And again, you also don't see Linguina on your map.
But yeah, we need to make it quick in and out in Fortune.
Absolutely. We'll get the supplies, materials that we need, and head on to the terrarium.
I need to go have a word with Lucas about not telling me about this map.
Yeah, he's our bookkeeper. He has all the letters and all the notes and everything. He's the information keeper. It really should be his job to share everything.
Crew is going to walk out the door, and as he does, he's going to cast Gust up above his head to essentially act like a wind umbrella so he can walk from one door to the other to get from the captain's quarters.
All right, I'll take a rule of cool for that. Sure, you are able to create a small like wind envelope above you. How long does the gust last?
It's one action, so I guess 6 seconds. But it's a cantrip.
Great, yeah. That's an impressive use of gust there. I like it. Well done. Sally looks really impressed when you walk by her, by your cool gust spell.
I'll do a little bow as I walk past.
Is it like a car where he's moving through and it is splashing Sally completely?
Yes, 100%. She gets soaked. you go to bow and all the water that's kind of been collecting above the wind just kind of pours on her, and she looks less impressed at this point. And she kind of walks away trying to dry her little dress off.
Lucas, we need to have a chat.
I'm in the kitchen just preparing some food. Oh, yeah, sure. What do you need?
What's going on with Freddy?
I guess. when I got into the kitchen, I would have done something about that.
Oh, okay. Lucas is like, well, this is my new normal now. I just live with this noise.
This is fine.
Frederican.
Yes, yes.
You can come out now. They're gone.
Oh, they're all gone?
All of them are gone.
Did they take John with them?
No, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Are you sure it's okay?
Yeah, we got rid of them. You can come out now.
Okay. And he slowly walks out of the kitchen.
Just go lie down and take a breather.
Okay. I'll go lie down on your bed.
Okay.
And he leaves.
Start ripping for dinner.
Great. So then...
Now crew walks in. Lucas, we need to have a chat.
Sure, Ball. What would you like to talk about?
I just discovered a cool little Easter egg with the map, and John tells me that you two already knew about it.
Oh, what was the Easter egg?
That you can say a name and it will show you which direction it is and put an ETA for it.
Oh, really? I didn't know it could do that. That's really cool.
I didn't either. Apparently, John said y'all knew that.
John should have told you about it. I don't know what was going on.
He said that y'all knew and that you should have told me. All I'm saying is somebody should have told me.
Well, I just hold the documents and the notes. I mean, it's really John's responsibility to manage the map, you know?
I mean, I guess he is kind of the navigator. I'm just the lookout.
Well, I mean, you are the captain, so I may be out of place, but you need to delegate.
I mean, I should know information. That's all I'm saying. All
right, I'll talk to John and make sure that he knows to tell you about this stuff from now on.
Okay, I appreciate that. What are you cooking for dinner? Because I am famished.
Well, since we're going back to Sortoon, I thought that I would make something nostalgic and try some Fey butter pastries for everybody.
Ooh, I like that. I do miss the Fey butter pastries at in Sortoon.
Oh, I didn't realize that they traveled so far. Oh, yeah, no, you said Sortoon. Never mind. It's just wiped it from my memory. You may have gotten them from my shop in Tortoon.
You had a shop in Tortoon?
Yeah, you know, a few years ago, the shop was called Magical Eats. It was like a little, not so much a shop, more like a cart or a chariot that was converted to a kitchen.
Well, I lived in Tortoon for about 4 years. I remember seeing you at all.
Well, if it was 4 years, I may have left just before you came, but I had some really good food at Magical Eats, you know? My slogan was, the food is enchanting. So, I don't know if you've heard that.
No, I haven't heard that.
No.
Did you have any employees? I wonder if they stole your recipe.
No, but it was by myself, but I had other shop owners not really happy about me trying to muscle in on the restauranting business in the area.
Yeah, they can be kind of stingy there. But I know some people, if you're wanting to start something back up. I mean, the cooking you've done here on the ship, so good. I can only imagine what kind of restaurant you would run.
Thank you so much. I think Tortoon is behind me for now. But after this cooking competition, I need to win this competition. After that, I can set up shop wherever I want.
Yeah, if this competition is as demanding as you're saying it's going to be, it should really come with some clout. Really set up shop anywhere you wanted.
Maybe I could go back to Tortoon and show them a thing or two.
I would have your back. Like I said, I know some people.
Can I ask people you know?
Well, there was this tavern that I used to hang out at. It was called the Shark's Head. You ever go there?
I didn't frequent taverns much.
I was really close to the barkeep there, and then just some of the other people around town that just had some influence.
I'll take any help I can get. Thank you.
Like I said, the cooking you do here, you could run any kind of restaurant and be successful.
Thank you. I do always doubt my abilities, but it's always good to have positive feedback so I can feel motivated to keep going. So thank you.
Let's have some of these Fey pastries. Maybe catch an early night, because I feel like the next 2 days are going to be a little hectic getting in.
Definitely. These will fill you up and put you to sleep. So they're the right food for what we need. The
crew is just going to sit down at the table, just watch this do his art.
Very cool.
I will start to make the pastries. And I guess I'll just talk out loud that Fey butter is very difficult to get, but I had a contact that was able to get it to me. Obviously, it's a different realm, so it's a little difficult to get milk from the Fey, but I churn it myself, and that's what this is.
Did it come straight from the Fey realm, or do you have a contact here?
Oh, straight from the Fey realm. I always go to the source.
That always makes it better.
Definitely.
Or should I say make it butter?
Wait, sorry, what did you say? I didn't catch that.
I said, or should I say it makes it butter?
Oh, sure.
Jason's going to cut that out.
I was like, yeah, sure, it is butter.
Gonna walk away now. I quit DMing forever. This is just.
And we'll just fade to black.
Fade to black. Perfect. The next 2 days are not busy. They're not crazy. If you would like to, we can do a little role play on some conversations you might like to have in the next couple days. But overall, it seems like you guys are almost to Tortune. As you get closer to Tortune, you know it to be a small port town on the edge of the coastline of Havandra. Sorry, not Havandra. Asmia, which is on the east side of the continent, or the planet. It is on the west side of the continent, though. It is a small port town surrounded by large mountains in which the Cherry Run Festival tends to happen at for the small town festival that we just heard about in Lucas's backstory a while back. These mountains are relatively large, so Lucas, you know, it can take a day or two to go over the mountain and get to the other side to get to Tortune. They are, when you last left, working on a way to build a road that would travel through the mountain, but it's taking some time to dig that tunnel to get through. The water is always clear, easy to see the bottom. You can definitely see the different types of fishes that are swimming in the ocean, and you can even see once you kind of get past the initial part where the water is kind of rushing against the beach, you can always see the bottom ocean of the ocean floor for several miles before, of course, it gets too deep to be able to see what it looks like. The port itself only has one or two places you can port your boat, and generally this port is designed for a quick entry and quick leaving, so there's not a lot of people leaving their boats at the port for very long. But it is known for having lots of good trade goods and different things available to the folks that come there. The roads themselves and the walkways are all made of dirt. They're not anything fancy, anything special. The town itself is what you'd think of a basic port town, though it is big enough to host a gamut of different types of people that live there. It is not big enough to make claim to be the capital city of the continent. It is nowhere near that size or that large. It is a well-known port for pirates, for sailors, for different folks that are definitely coming in, trying to get a quick thing of supplies because the trade roads to the north and south of it are relatively open and make it easy for folks to get some trade goods as they go past the mountains. The sky this time, though, seems strange. It's typically a clear blue sky. Sometimes it's kind of got that some clouds in it, but it's your typical Texas sky that us as humans who live in Texas know what that looks like. It's typically open and wide, and you can kind of see for miles. Not today. There's a strange black smoke, almost smog, coming from the town. As you guys are pulling into the port itself, there are some boats that are out, and it's odd to see because there's a large gamut of boats. Like I said, this port's usually clear, but it's got a ton of different boats of down to a dinghy size to things that are large enough to hold two or three people. And as you're kind of slowly pulling your boat through, and Freddy's up at the top trying to raise the getting ready to raise the black flag that you guys have, you see some different folks doing something odd. They're either have an artificer or a wizard in their boat. You can tell because by the magic spells that they're using, and the artificer will hand caps to two or three different people, and those people will dive into the water and be down for a good portion of time while the wizards are casting a spell on some folks that'll go down for maybe about an hour and then rise back up, and they've kind of got an air bubble that is going around their face to kind of give them a chance to breathe. And these folks, they're diving in and they're coming back out with this crystal. And it looks like they're swimming this crystal up from the ocean floor. It is almost like a seafoam green type color and kind of looks familiar to the crystal that is in Crew's ring. But it's not the same color, but kind of a similar kind of makeup. So you know how you can kind of look at like a jade rock and go, okay, I know this is green jade, but this is also black jade, and they look similar to each other. Same kind of concept here. You've got two crystals that look very similar in nature to each other. As you get closer, this smog fills the air around you. It's getting a little harder to breathe. Not in a negative sense, just more like you are breathing smog, like you're in the middle of Mexico City if you were to be in the real world here. And you're seeing more and more of these boats that are kind of coming out. They'll collect a good portion of these crystals and they'll start making their way back in. As we mentioned before, there's only one port where you would park your boat, but now you're seeing 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, etc. Ports where you can kind of pull in and park your dock your boat for a good portion of time. Some of these docks are full of these smaller boats where you're seeing people now unloading these crystals into baskets and running them off into town. Brings another interesting point because as you pull up to the port, you notice that the town's almost like doubled in size and now has cobblestone roads. And there seems to be a good gamut of people around the town. What do you guys do as you guys pull into port?
John, Lucas, y'all remember port being this big or town itself being that big in Maine? Or is this just a fever?
We've already been gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, they couldn't have built all this in 2 weeks. There has to be something going on.
This is Tortune, right? When we didn't accidentally come to another city.
John, we're the one steering. You brought us to the right place, right?
Yes, of course. Take away the town, the geography is still the same.
Barely see the mountains in the back, though. When you're looking at the mountains, as he says that, you do see a large building that seems to be emanating this smog into the air.
Seems like maybe some sort of new industry has moved into town.
Done all this in 2 weeks? That's just implausible.
It's definitely possible. Concern I have is the manpower and resources it would take means there's probably a new boss in town.
I should really check with my contacts and so on.
It'd probably be wise for all of us to lay a little low, try and blend in as best as possible until we figure out what's transpired over the last few weeks.
Hey, guys, Drake walks up to you.
Yeah?
Sorry to interrupt. The boys and I were kind of pointing out that a big old egg by the mast is really starting to kind of get a weird smell to it. Are we going to do anything about that? Can we take it into town and get rid of it? We'd be glad to go sell it for y'all if you want us to. We're just kind of not interested in having the smell on board anymore, if you know what I mean.
Have we noticed anything about the egg? Is it like cracking, like it's going to hatch or anything?
No. It looks like it does. I mean, he's not wrong. There's a bit of a smell starting to come off of it. You've had it for almost 2 weeks now, so.
I'm fine with selling it. I think we were going to do that anyways, weren't we?
Yes, I think that was the plan all along.
Oh, great.
Lucas, would you have any contacts in town that might be interested in a sea snake egg?
A couple of the restaurants here could use it for something special, but it's been a few years since I've been back, years since I've talked to people here, so I don't know if they're the same contacts.
I could talk to it, but I don't know. My contacts aren't in the restaurant industry. They may have contacts are.
I think we should berth and at least ask a port what's going on, or what happened in the last 2 weeks that this happened.
I agree. Let's dock and then figure out what to do.
Agreed. The last time you were in this place, you snuck aboard a ship and were hiding.
I didn't sneak aboard, I was thrown onto board, but yes.
Okay. Either way, the question still stands. Is there anything we need to be aware of regarding you and these unnamed contacts in this town while we're here?
I wouldn't say anything to be aware of as far as just if anybody asks, my name is Crew. Actually, you can just drop the whole bowl thing. My name is Crew.
I see. Crew, just Crew?
It's a Saipan. Weird name, Crew, just Crew. Oh, he said. What did he say his last name was?
Saipan.
Psylocke.
Not even close. Sobriety just hits different, doesn't it, Drake?
I'm gonna go get the egg ready, Mr. Pan.
Thanks, Drake.
He nods and rubs his temples as he walks.
So if you get into any issues, just tell him you're with me.
His big bugbear hands throws a thumbs up in the air. Kind of hear him singing a song. Gonna trade this for some alcohol.
Drake, money.
Cool. I'll let you guys continue the conversation.
Yeah, Jean will just head back up to the helm and get us steered in. Leave Lucas and Crew if they want to continue talking.
In town, I'm going to head to Darkshead, the one that I was telling you about. That's where I'll be able to get in touch with them. If you're wanting to go to some of yours, split up, or do you...
I'll stick with you. The local merchants weren't too pleased with me before I left, so I'd rather just stay with you for now.
Once we're docked, gonna get off and look and find either somebody he recognizes or somebody that looks like the dock.
Yeah, as you guys pull your boat forward, a blue tiefling begins to walk down the dock. It looks like he's got a gold pouch on his hip. He's got a dagger on his other side. He's got these blue skin tone color. He looks about 6 feet tall. He's long golden horns that kind of curve over the top of his head and then kind of start to point up in the air as they start going behind his head. He's got a golden tooth on his, you know, two tooths to the right from the middle of his mouth as he's smiling real big as you guys are coming up. He's got different jewelry he's wearing, almost like a green vest that's kind of buttoned down in the middle with really no shirt underneath. He's just got this green vest, so you kind of see his big blue muscles. He's got a nice pair of slacks on and a monocle that kind of goes over one of his eyes, and he's smiling real big. He pulls out a timepiece as you guys are getting closer, and he seems to jot something down in his book and closes his timepiece and puts it back in his vest pocket. And he smiles as you guys move into port.
Hello, my friend. A lot has changed here in 2 weeks, it seems.
Aye. Things have changed a lot since the gemstone started to appear.
The gemstone? Is that what they're getting out of the...
Not...
Out of the rock bed?
No, gen. Gen. Yes, yes. It's an N at the end, not an M. Yes, it's a crystalline stone. It looks like you already own some.
Not that I know of.
He points at your ring.
This? Is that gemstone?
Yes, yes. It's a different color than what we're getting here, but... And it looks like they're mining all the same out there for that. Are you intending to port here long? There is a fee.
We'll be maybe a day, two at most. What's the fee?
Gold per day.
So, that sound like a reasonable price?
I mean, does that sound reasonable to crew?
That's what I don't need to roll in intelligence.
Yeah, sure. If you have history, you could add that to it.
They're both zero, so 18.
18? I mean, it sounds expensive. You figured maybe like a silver or two might a day, but this sounds like quite a bit.
Good sir, crew. Now I'll reach out to shake his hand. Or
my name, Jalak Bunjor.
Seems pretty expensive from what I remember it being when I was here ago. I think I paid maybe silvers.
That's a lot. It can change in 2 weeks, my friend. Unfortunately, we've had to bring prices up with more and more people wanting to dock here now, and whatnot. It's become a bit more expensive. The gemstone and all, you know, pay the man.
Yes, need a dock here. I'll give you one for today. I'll pay again tomorrow if we're not out by then.
Oh, that sounds splendid. I'll pay for today then. Just make sure you have someone here on your vessel to pay for tomorrow's compensation. If we find that your vessel is empty tomorrow, we may move it.
Well, there's to be somebody on there. There's always somebody.
Oh, very good. Well, we'll be looking for them then. Takes his gold, and it's a pleasure doing service with you, Mr. Crew. What are you guys in here for? I guess is you looking for a hotel or anything? I can point you in a good direction. Any specific marketplaces?
No, I'm from here, so I'm good. I don't need any help.
Oh, well, all right. I don't think I've seen you around here before, but very good. If you're just here to refill, then...
I'm assuming you've only been here for 2 weeks. I don't know you. Oh, I know everybody in this town.
Well, all right. Yeah, I've been around for 2-3 months, but, you know, that's fair. And I'm still meeting people, and obviously new people are coming in all the time, so... But 2 weeks, that's fine. That's fine. People don't know who I am, I understand. People just assume I've been here for 2 weeks. He starts walking away, mumbling.
This is not giving me happy vibes, guys.
He said that he had been here 2 months.
I lived here for 4 years.
We definitely need more information. Maybe we can ask your contacts.
I'm going to start heading towards the shark's head.
Hog's head?
So crew's heading the shark's head. What is everybody else doing?
I'm going with him.
Lucas is going with him. Sean?
Sean? I don't know. He doesn't really feel like he was invited to go. Doesn't really know what to do. So he's just going to kind of like hang out on the deck, like hoping like maybe he gets an invite. But also, like, there's stuff to do on the ship. So if they head off, then he's just going to hang around the ship, make sure that everything's getting repaired, get with Francon, Pancon, make sure that we have a rough idea as best as we can without being able to speak their language of what they need. And just take inventory of what we have, what we need, and try to think ahead towards, like, we're going to the terrarium. What might we encounter and what should we have on hand?
Perfect. Well, Francon and Pancon had taken off with Drake, and they're rolling the egg off into town.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So it's you, the sisters, and Freddy.
Yeah, so John's just, like, looking around, like, you know, doing the thing where, like, he, like, glances over at Lucas and crew every now and again as they're talking to the shipmaster, like, hoping to make eye contact. And just, like, you know, patting the mast, pretending to, like, you know, give it a once over, make sure it's, you know, make sure it's still there.
But as we get to the end of the dock, I'm gonna look at Lucas and be like, where is Jean? Did he not follow us?
I'll look around. Oh, I guess he didn't. And I, hopefully the boat's not too far away, and I'll look at the boat, see Jean pining away at the...
What is he doing to the mast? That doesn't look sanitary.
Jean!
Jean will look up, like, really excited and, like, point at himself, like, me? Yeah? You, and, like, do the finger point, like, you want me to come over there?
Wave you towards me.
Jean does a happy little hop over and, hey guys.
Nameless saunters behind you.
Hey, what were you doing over there?
Oh, you know, just quartermaster stuff. Gotta check the ship.
You were just crying a second ago.
I so wish we could hear Nameless.
What's the plan? Where are we going?
We're heading into town. We're gonna go to the tavern I used to frequent, talk to some of my contacts, see about what's going on here.
Oh, okay. Do you you mind if I tag along?
I thought you were coming along anyways. Why I was?
I don't know. I just, you know, it kind of seemed like y'all both had contacts and, like, y'all are from this town. And I just, you know, didn't want to, like, cramp your style or anything.
You're part of the crew, Jean.
And when have you ever cared what we thought?
You know, I don't think that's quite fair. I care quite a lot what you think of me.
Not necessarily what we think.
Well, I appreciate the offer, and let's go.
Okay, so going to head towards the Shark's Head as we're going.
Well, just so you know, it's the buildings seem nicer and newer than they did in the past. They now have red tiled roofing, and it kind of matches some of the cliffs and stuff that are the mountain wall that's kind of behind them is kind of a reddish tintish color. They kind of match that same kind of coloration. The roads seem to weave a little bit differently than they did before, and there's lots of tents now on the beach. You're going to have to make your way through before you can get to the cobblestone road behind it. When you do finally get onto the cobblestone road up there, you notice that there's kind of a sign that points in four different directions. Man, it looks like it points out four different districts that are now associated with this town. The Nails Mead Fair, the Yerinder's Oak Ring, the Song, and Vondel's Castle Ford. And you know that arrow's kind of pointing, and it kind of seems to be pointing towards the same direction that the Shark Head is in. But you can definitely tell that the size of this town has definitely gotten larger.
Which shine is section? Vondel's?
Vondel's Castle Ford. And then there's, of course, the Nails Mead Fair, which is kind of more towards the... When you're standing, it's going to be going more north. And the Vandal's Castle Ford is more southeast, again, kind of like how you're trying to travel towards Tortune, again, going southeast. The Song is straight ahead of you, which is east. And then Yerander's Oak Ring is more like northeast from where you're standing. And in that Yerander's Oak Ring is where you see this now large... almost type thing, kind of in that area. But you're heading towards the Shark's Head, correct?
Bundles. I assume it's in the same direction. Walking that way like I know what I'm doing.
Perfect. Yeah, you start weaving your way through the town, and it is now a new maze. It almost feels like a little different, a little strange. Pass by a place called the Hungry Pawn Shop of Rieta and Dimble's Spooky Battery. These are kind of two locations you end up passing by as you're walking through the town.
I'm assuming places that I don't remember.
Correct. Yep, they're two places that you don't recognize or remember.
As we're walking by, I'm just quickly close.
There is a Yuan Ti inside the pawn shop that seems to be restocking shelves with some wild, long red hair kind of coming off of their body. She looks gorgeous, but when she turns around, you think she's a human. When she turns around, you definitely see kind of scales on her forehead and some fangs kind of coming out of her mouth, and her nails are like a yellowish tinted color her fingers are a yellowish tinted color with her nails kind of black, solid deep black. She smiles and she waves at you guys as she begins to stock a few more things, but you can definitely tell it's what you would imagine a pawn shop would be. People have taken some of their old things that they no longer want, and they've brought them to her shop to return, to get resold and kind of get some income for them. And it looks like there's a lot of different things that people have brought in that just from the window that could be anything that ranged from clothes to tools to weapons to just different things that you're kind of almost a little bit surprised might be sold. Like, they kind of seemed valuable, some valuable statues and stuff, but it's almost like brought a lot of their things there to trade in their goods to get some income.
I'm going to wave back past.
The there's not really a window in the habatchery. There's like there, where the window would be, there's almost a large purple curtain that kind of covers it. You do see a very small fairy man. He's kind of standing outside, and he's got a little pipe in his hands. And as you walk by, he smiles and waves, and you notice that it seems he's like working on a potion of some sort as he's standing outside of the fish shop.
I don't remember any of this being near the tavern. As we approach, I send a message to V. Admin V, Lieutenant Crew reporting in, coming that way, bringing guests.
Ah, wonderful. Good. We saw you pull in. I've missed you. We'll have everything ready. As you venture forward to the shark head, it seems to have almost doubled in size now. It has got a second floor to it that it didn't have before. There's a large shark head out on the front, and it's almost got like a cook's hat on top of its head, and it's this shark head is massive. Crew, you feel like you could almost lay inside of its mouth and still have room to stretch a little bit. There's two large stone posts that hold up the awning on the outside. The roof again is that red color, and you remember the building. It almost was like the paint was chipped on the outside. The rocks had kind of settled and moved, and the doorway was kind of slanted a little bit before you walked in. Everything looks straight and perfect, nice, neat, and organized at this point. There's a gentleman out front who is in a suit and tie. He stands at a little podium. You watch as you kind of walk a little bit closer. Somebody pulls up in a carriage and stops. He collects the carriage from the people and gives them a ticket, and they nod and they walk into the building. And you watch him drive their cart off around to the back of the building.
This is where the tavern was, and it doesn't look like the same tavern, but it could just be refurbished like everything else in this town seems to be.
Things are weird. Is there anything we need to know before we go in?
I know the tavern worker's here, so just follow my lead and everything should be good.
Will do, Captain.
Push open the door.
And with that, we'll end for the evening. Thank you guys all for hanging out for our return to the Dicey Experience after this small hiatus. We do appreciate it. And as always, next time, we'll be deadly serious next time.
Bye.
Adidas.
Did you just say Adidas? Like the shoe?